I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew and chapter 1. Great to be here. I know we have some alumni here and some of the faculty here. And then we have college students here. Then we have high school students here. And I believe some of you maybe have been in athletic events and maybe played on a ball team. And I don't know if you know this, but sometimes you play in a ball team and sometimes you have a big game or just any game and you get very, very nervous, very, very nervous. They call them butterflies. That's how I feel right now. And I really do. I would quit if I didn't.
Right, exactly.
I get to do this. It's amazing. Just amazing. I think of the crowd here, the decisions, our desires to be made. Brother Trevor said, if I can mention, I'm not going to preach my testimony like that, but mention my testimony, but it would help maybe somebody here. Some of you that are visiting here think there's no way in the world. I mean, come on, Bible God, there's no way in the world. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I don't think I'd be the maybe least likely maybe to be here. I feel that way. I was not reared in a Christian home. I did not go to church. I did not go to a Christian school. I did not go to a Christian college. Growing up was just, I thought, just growing up. And I like what Miss Batty used to say. I was very close to my mother when I was born, and we were very close, you know. And my mom and dad did not stay married. I don't remember living with my mom and dad, but that's common today. See, I'm more like everybody else today. In my generation, that was very different. My dad had a very difficult time finding the right woman, so my dad was married four different times. My mother, likewise, had a very difficult time finding the right man or rebounding, having someone take care of her, so she was married three times, and so there's been seven marriages in my childhood growing up, six divorces. But probably what made it stand out was the last man my mom married. And I remember that one. I remember about the age of six that I learned what it was like to hate someone. Now, not just dislike, not like, you know, he's no good. I mean to vehemently hate someone with every bit of yourself. I remember at the age of seven, I read those comic books. In the back of them, they had these little stick figures. And I remember Joe Weider, this Atlas School of lifting weights, just lift weights. And that was where I was going to go. I was going to go to the Atlas gym, and I was going to lift weights. And I was going to come, and I was going to kill my stepdad. Because I hated him. I hated him. He was so unkind to my mother. Now, I'm not talking about unkind, like, you know, the old lady this and old lady this, and you better listen to me. But I'm just talking about, and not shoving, not just punching, I'm just talking boom, 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 boom. And I'd watch her, watch him just beat the fire out of my mother. And she had not climbed the steps. She laid on the floor for the night. I could tell you so many times a gurney would come from the ambulance and take my mother out of the house, which left us there with him, which is the worst part there was. I hated it. Don't tell me there's a God. Don't tell me he loves us. I remember the night we got out of the house, 2:30 a.m. in the morning. I remember my mother waking me up in my sleep. I was a cute little boy. I had the pajamas with the feet in the bottom of them. I remember that stuff. Man, I loved them. I saw that horrid look on my mother's face. Horrid. She was so scared. I remember just saying, whatever you do, don't talk. I remember slipping out of the house, and I won't go into detail about it, slipping down the hallway stealthily because we couldn't wake Joe, the stepdad. He did things to us we don't ever talk about, never will. I hated him. We slipped out that night. Grandma Edna picked us up in the car. I remember we relocated. My mom got a job, didn't tell anybody where we were going, went to a different school, just got out of there. May 16th, Remember the day just as clear as today. May 16th, my mother got up early that morning. She put on a black pair of tights, and she had a modest black skirt, black top. She had a little diamond tiara she wore. She was a waitress at the Keyhole Restaurant, Salem Avenue in Dayton, Ohio. My mom left for work about 7:30 that morning, and when she got to work, she got off at 4:30. She was going to come home and be with us, and she got to the car, and he found her. He found out where she worked. And Joe Woodruff, my third stepfather, walked across that parking lot and got right in front of the car. He couldn't let her out. My mother started just trembling. She hated that situation. He walked right up to the front of the car and went to the side of it, put his hands in the open window, and he looked at my mother, Virginia, called her Jenny. Jenny, will you please come home? Will you please come home? He reached inside his yellow windbreaker and took out a .38 caliber, snub-nosed six-shot gun, and pinned that gun against my mother's chest, and he pulled the trigger once and twice and three times and four times and five times. He murdered my mother. Front seat of your car. Then he committed suicide. So I had no one else to hate anymore. And then growing up from home to home and other place I don't need to mention, and foster home, a group home, parents, people you don't know. Now don't tell me there's a God that loves you. Then my real dad, finally got back in the picture and through a series of events and custody and so forth, and I got to know him and got to go with him and get out of the system a little bit. And I remember those days of growing up, I thought, why would God ever care about me? I was 15 years of age and went to church. A Texan preacher stood up who should never have been a preacher. He didn't meet all the qualifications. They didn't tell them at the Bible college. And he left Bible college early because he couldn't graduate. I didn't know all that stuff. And started Greenville Baptist Temple in Greenville, Ohio. And I remember the man wore a black suit. He always used to get up there and pull the suit down like this. And boy, he preached a house of fire. I sat in that back row as a 15-year-old kid. I heard about God. God changed my life.
Amen.
That's it. Changed my life. At the age of 15, I didn't know a whole lot about growing for Christ. And so I started to keep going to church, and I actually got to play college football, and I got a scholarship. So I left Ohio, went to Minnesota, and played college football. That's where I met my wife. You said you met your wife at a secular college. I did. Was she religious? I don't know. She was pretty. I learned this a long time ago. You can always teach in the Bible. You can't make them better looking, so marry a pretty one. And I married that little gymnast, and she was the love of my life. Been married 40 years. She is the love of my life. People say, probably got the wrong wife. I probably do. I probably have the wrong kids, but don't tell them, okay? So I'm doing okay. Got a conviction on Wednesday night, true story. First time in my life, got a conviction on Wednesday night. I was saved. I didn't really know how to grow a whole lot. I mean, and God just as much as I can tell you exactly where I got saved, I can tell you exactly where God called me. God called me. I can tell you where I was standing, what was going on. So next morning, true story, I turned the radio on. A radio, it's a box, okay? It's got knobs on front of it, okay? Yeah, yeah. For most of you don't understand what that is, okay? Turn the radio on. I was trying to find a Christian station. I never listened to Christian music in my life. I turned that radio on, and I finally heard these words. Welcome to the Family Altar Program.
Yeah,
Brother Crummy.
Yeah.
My name is Brother Crummy. I would change my name. Brother Crummy, that's the worst name in the world, you know? This is Lester Roloff, Evangelist Roloff, and Lester Roloff started singing. And Lester Roloff, no one can sing like Lester Roloff. No one can sing that bad. I mean, I guarantee you, okay? And he started singing. I thought, this is horrible. This is horrible. So I went to turn it off. True story. When I went to, he goes, and don't touch that dial. I'm looking at that box like there's, whoa. And here's what 2 Timothy said, true story, 2 Timothy. I'm talking to young preachers out there. This is 6 a.m. in the morning. I just got called 9 hours ago last night. That was it right there. I'm talking to young preachers out there. Now I'm looking at this box like something's going to happen. And Les Rollo said, and let God wake you up, not that cup of coffee. I'm going, I'm 0 for 3 right now. I put my coffee down. I had no idea what's going on. Oh, true story. I just heard Johnny Pope quoting, and he said, next statement was this right here. If you don't have a conviction for your own, just use some of mine for a while. And he gave all of his convictions. Watch this. In one conversation, God used that man. Changed my life. He had a children's home. Guess what I did? Started a children's home. My wife and I started a children's home at a wonderful, knowledgeable age of 23. We have 54 severely delinquent teenagers. All the ones nobody else wanted. And we loved it. Had an 85-acre farm, rented it out, did everything I could, kept them busy. We loved them. Sent them home after a year, and you know what happened? 3 or 4 months, they're back the same as their parents. I remember saying to God, we don't need a children's home. We need a parent's home. And God said, that's what a church is. Go back to college. Learn how to do a church. So that time, there's only one college that I was told to go to, and that was Howells Anderson College. This one did not exist. So in that summer, I went down to pay honor to Lester Rolfe, and Johnny Pope was there. I've never heard preaching before. Not like that. And Johnny Pope preached the message, How to Live on the Earth. And I sat there just like you sit right here. And I said, I want to do that. I knew God had called me. I just didn't know why. I said, I want to do that. Because one message I heard from one man, I want to do what God told me to do. Looked up Howells Anderson College, went there, then I sat under the feet of the tutelage of Jack Howells for 4 years, shook his hand 3 times in 4 years. But I sat in the chapel just like this every time I could listen. And God used that man, that ministry, to mold my life just like this ministry right here. He's preaching at North Valley Baptist Conference Thursday night. One Thursday night, he flew home through the night. Just so happens, I had an appointment with him the next day. I said, I have this and I have this. What do you think? He said, well, I was just at a church in California. They need somebody. And so we candidated out in Chico, California. God called me 31 years ago to be the pastor of Pleasant Valley Baptist Church. And amen. What a blessing. Amen. And then I met Jack Treiber. I'll tell you why I get up at 2:45 every Tuesday. For 24 years. I have over 250,000 miles driving here. More than he has. Because of him. He is the most gracious man I know. It's true. He is the most gracious man I know. What's that Golden State Baptist College? I'm not honoring man. I have no use for man, honestly. I have great need for God's man. I'm saying for what God has done in his life. What makes Golden State Baptist College? Jack Treiber. God always blesses a man. I come here for him. And he had a vision. I can tell you where we were sitting. It was a modular. I was sitting on a 5-gallon bucket doing drywall for you. And you came in there and sat down on a drywall bucket. And here's what I thought to myself. I hope he doesn't do this because I'll have to fix it when he's done. So, and that's where Brother True and I got to know each other. And he asked me to come on board, and I love him. I love his family. So when you come here, you'll learn ministry. But you'll learn ministry through people. So welcome to Golden State Baptist College. Matthew chapter 1. Turn back a few pages to your left to Malachi or Malachi or whichever book you call that, okay? I knew you couldn't find that on your own, so I thought I'd just make it easier for you. This is a young crowd, Brother Treiber. He might as well try to help him out, okay? So Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. Going to hasten here, so please listen. I want you to look at verse number 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. So many times we fly right through the salutation verses. Can you just look at that verse one more time? The burden of the what?
Word
of the who?
Lord.
So look up here, I'll help you out. That means God, the Lord, God, was burdened. He was troubled. He was bothered. And the Lord was bothered, and he wanted to say something. His word, he wanted to say something. So the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel. That was who was to. I've got to talk to my people. I've got to tell them something. I don't know how to do it. It bothers me, but it grieves me. It vexed me. I'm burned by it. I need to say something to my people. So the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. So I have Malachi tell them. I hope when you preach, that's how you feel. Oh, it's not. Here's what I got. I hope you always say, here's what God said. Thus saith the Lord. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Look at verse 2. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? There was a time in my life I could say that. Oh, but not when I met him. Every day I sing that song, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing his words. Amen. Sounds like music in my ears, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love him. What audacity would the people have to say, oh, sure, God, like you love us. Yeah, come on, God. That's what they said. God said, I've loved you. Yeah, ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Would you skip down, please, to verse number 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? What kind of question is that? Well, you're a Christian, right? Oh, don't bring it up. You're one of those, right? Oh, you go to that church. I love that. You go to that church. No, you know, just kind of hang your head. That's what he's talking about right there. Yeah. There's a name. Oh, don't. Oh, I don't despise that name. Did you look at verse 7? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. Just think about it. Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? Do you know that bread was very important? It was giving your best to the Lord. And the people said, we're giving our best. We're giving our best. And God said, no, you're not. Can I ask you an honest question? If you played on God's team, would he bench you? Not because you're not a good player, but you don't play up to your potential. Let me just stop right there at the scripture and say this. Who are these people? Who would say, come on, God, you don't love us? Who would say, I don't despise your name? Come on, God. Come on, God, I'm doing my best. You know I am, but I know I'm not. Who are these people? They're in my church. They're in his church. There might be some here. They're just average Christians. One thing I like about Golden State Baptist College, God uses his place to take the average to a whole new level. Father in heaven, take this, thy message, speak to our hearts. Can I ask you to do that which we cannot do, please? For Christ's sake, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I have to think the general consensus of everyone in this room is, you know, I don't know if I really belong here or not. I don't know if I can go to Golden State Baptist College. I don't know if I really belong in a Bible college. I don't know really if I belong here or not. And yet God always uses those people that we would call just average people. And I think about the average lady that is at the well. And in fact, she didn't like going to the well. And she went there and she saw this Jew man there and like, make my day today. And yet Jesus had a conversation with that lady and just said, I have the living water. And she asked after a conversation, sir, I'd like to have that living water. And God used that average lady. She got done the well, and she literally by herself told everyone, and all the Decapolis came and heard about Jesus Christ. It was just the average lady that was called Mary, and Mary, that a young lady, a pure and a virgin lady, but an average person not thinking of herself to be anyone special. And yet God used her to be the very womb, and that the very Lamb of God would be buried within. And God took a man called Peter, just an average guy, just an average blue-collar guy that went out to work every day, and a fisherman, and had some callus on his hands, and yet God called him, and Peter walked on water. Peter walked on water. Nobody else has done that. God can call the average and take their life to a whole new level and to an awesome level that God does. And that's what God is here for you today. See, you're actually looking at your life today and say, okay, I'm a high schooler. I'm a junior. I'm a senior. I'm about ready to graduate. I'm about ready to go out in my life and see what I really want to do or what God wants me to do. And God is saying this, I'll take you from this level right here, but I got a whole new level for you if you just do what I tell you to do. And don't be shy about that. Don't be timid about it. It's all of God. It's all of God. Let God work in your life today. God can take the average and make it very awesome. Welcome to Golden State Baptist College. I love it. If I had a chance or the choice between an average marriage or an awesome marriage, I'd take an awesome marriage.
Amen.
Amen. I'm still madly in love with that little gymnast girl. I really am. We just had a couple days ago, a lot of traveling. Got a lot of time in the car to go. I am smack dab madly in love with that woman. Like fireworks going off, home run over the fence. I mean, I am in love with that one. And you need to hear that too, because you're going to question this stuff about marriage, aren't you? It's amazing. You look at marriage and say, I don't know if I really want to get married. Why not want to get married? Hey, it's the greatest thing in all the world. Outside of my walk with God, the greatest joy I have in my life is being married to that lady. She kind of likes me. I love her, but she kind of likes me, so we still kind of work it out a little bit. Hey, I'll tell you what, that's a blessing right there. If I had a choice between an average family or an awesome family, I'd take an awesome family. If I had a choice between an average church or an awesome church, I want an awesome church. Hey, if I had a difference between an average ministry and how we work or an awesome ministry, I'd do everything I could to have an awesome ministry. God makes that happen. If I had a choice between average bills or awesome bills, I don't want any bills at all, okay? Three little areas this morning. Number one, if you come here, God will challenge you in your prayer life. No one preaches on prayer and gets many amens. It's true. And that's our problem. We don't pray. Saturday has some errands run after soul winning. Took my wife to a business place and there's only 12 stalls right next to the door. She's in her ass. It's okay. I'll ask God. She looked at me, she goes, I said, really? He says, ask and you shall receive. So I pulled up there. I said, it's starting to rain. And so there's no parking stalls. As I walked up right, there's 12. I said, honey, let me let you off. And she's kind of looking around like, okay, where's the man of God? You know? So I left her off, and so she walked inside. So I pulled back around, and there's that number one spot right there. God is good. God answers little prayers. God answers big prayers. I was, I think you or Capace, one of the two, we're all together, and there's an offering, and either you or Capace said it, that I always give the largest bill I have in the offering plate, And so that's always been my conviction since you and I had that conversation. Capace's not here, so I'll just say it was you, okay? Yeah, so there you go. And so I always thought I'd put the biggest bill in the offering plate. I was just at a place preaching, and I knew what I had to do, so I went and got some cash bills, and so I had them ready for a Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and so I needed some money for a haircut or whatever it was, and so I had it all planned out, and so last night it came down to where there was an extra offering, and I didn't have it. All I had was the haircut. I didn't know what to do. I thought, I'll just save it. It'll be, God said, I thought you made an agreement with me. Here's what I said. I don't remember that agreement. And he quickly reminded me of that agreement. I said, no, you got to be kidding. I got to go back to, okay. I just had that little moment like that, little moment. And I said this. I said, Lord, you said, you give, I'll give back to you. I said, Lord, you said it. And so I said, I'm going to do it. Lord, I know you're going to give back. Sure enough, that offering came, and quickly I took that large bill out. I put in the offering plate. My wife saw me do that. I told her the little story. I said, God's going to bless. Oh, God's going to bless. We went to the service afterwards. They had a little fellowship. And after that fellowship, a lady came up and shook my hand. And I knew there's some paper inside my hand. I thought, you know something, God, you are so good. I didn't have to look at it. I put it in my pocket. That's all it was. And then she went around the table and she shook my wife's hand. And she also placed some money in her hand. She put a $50 bill in my wife's hand. And she put a $100 bill in my hand. Hey, $150 over $20 again. Hey, I'll tell you what. You learn how to give, God will give back to you. I guarantee you. God knows how to do it. So let's go back to college days. Just got done to college, went to Pleasant Valley Baptist Church. My very first day there, I found out a few things about the church. Number one, they did not have a house ready for me, so I lived in a hotel for 6 weeks with my wife and 4 children. I've never been the same since that time. Also found out that the church was not financially solvent. And so I realized we need to start praying this down. So I went to my office, and very first week, I was just begging God, can we pay the bills? 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 And about my 10th day there, I was in the church early in the morning, and a man came knocking on the outdoor. And it was like 6 a.m. in the morning. I'd gone down to the church to pray, knocked. I went to the door, and there's a transit man there. A transit man that had hair kind of down there and really rough clothes and wasn't well hygiene. And I said, sir, can I help you? Can I help you? He said, yeah, do you have any food? I said, you know something? I've only been here 10 days. We have a kitchen. There's no food. I feel horrible already. I'm sorry. I don't know if there's any food here. I said, is there anything else I can give you? I said, what else do you need? He says, well, do you have any money for food? And honestly, I had just gone down to the church to pray. I had 0 monies, not 1 cent, not 1 dime, not $1 bill. I said, sir, I'm striking out. I'm so sorry. I was just down here praying. I said, sir, I'm the new pastor. I'm dying. I'm failing here. Help me. Is there anything else? He goes, no. He goes, you got a pair of socks? I said, why? He goes, you got a pair of socks? I said, no, I do. What are you doing? Oh, I took my shoes off. I took my socks off. I had a pair. I know it's weird, isn't it? He didn't think so. He didn't. They were a stupid color, too, like maroon or something like that. I thought, okay, God, you want these? It's okay with me. All right, I don't mind, so. I took a pair of maroon socks and handed them to him. He looked at me. He said, you going to do that? I said, oh, yeah. I said, I got something better for you if you listen. That man then stepped in my office and he sat down. We had 2 metal folding chairs. That's what we had. I sat down and showed him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that man tearfully just asked Christ to be a Savior. I'll never forget it. Just a sweet time. 10th day there. I remember him walking out of my office, going down the outside door. He goes, hey, preacher. I said, well, he held up the sign. I'll see you in heaven one day. I thought, oh, don't wear those. Please don't wear those. Amen. I went home and told my kids, no, Dad, where's your socks? I said, don't even think about it. Okay, I'll tell you later, right? And I got dressed, went to school that day, about 10 o'clock that morning. I thought, no. I've only got 1 pair of socks on. Here we go. No. And a lady came to our church, and I never met her before. She was another lady I never met before. She goes, sir, we have an envelope here for you that a neighbor told us to bring down to you. I said, who's the lady? She goes, I don't know. I said, no, you got to know. Well, she asked not to tell her name. I said, she doesn't attend church. She just told me to bring this envelope down to you. I said, okay. I tried to thank her. They just actually quickly slipped away. It was a 8x11 manila envelope. And I know how pastors are. You can feel inside. It wasn't a pair of socks, I promise you, okay? But it's like it's like money. And so I was so spiritual, I really was. I went over here, set it down, the chair over here. I went over to my prayer chair over here. And God, that lasted about 2 seconds. I went right back over here, okay? So I wanted to find out I was in there. And there was $1 bills and $5 bills and $10 bills and $100 bills. $1,511. And God said, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of your debt. I said, what? He said, you take care of that. I said, that transit man? A pair of socks? $1,500. I should have given him my whole suit. I could have built a whole new church at the first day I was there. Man, God answers prayer. God answers prayer. Hey, God answers prayer. Hey, let me ask you this question. How's your prayer life?
That's good.
I'm just being real. How's your prayer life? Average. Yeah, just like the people in the Bible. Just like them. If you come here, you'd be challenged to pray. To walk with God. Be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
And He is. He's mighty. Can you hear Him if I personify Him just for a minute? Can you hear God? Hey, ask. Just ask. Somebody just talk to me. Ask me. And I'll give. Seek and you'll find Him. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Listen to me say this. Call me. Hey, just call me. Call unto me and I will answer thee. And I'll show you great and mighty things thou knowest not. Hey, just call me. Hey, just ask me. Hey, I desire to pray. Oh, please come and talk to me. I guarantee you, if you come here, you'll be challenged in your life to pray. One of the things I go to Brother Cheever most often about is, Brother Cheever, how do I pay bills? I don't live in the Silicon Valley. Our house is on $1.2 million for a 50-year-old home, 1,200 square feet. But we have bills to pay. In finance, I had to learn how to grow as a pastor, and I called Brother Cheever. And I'll tell you what, it works. It works. Can I have your undivided attention for a minute? Giving is a whole lot more caught than is taught. Can I just give you one verse? Give, and it shall be given you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall God, and He tells. Only one word of that verse is for you. One word, give. And then God takes the other 39 words and explains how He's going to give back to you. Did you ever figure that out yet? Watch this. One word for you, give. Then God takes the next 39 words and ordered by Him to prove to you, I'll give it back to you. I mean, you shovel to God, God shovels you, and God has a bigger shovel than you have. So God just says, you do your shoveling, I'll do my shoveling, and you always come farther ahead. I guarantee if you come to Golden State Baptist College, you'll learn how to be a better giver while you're here. And watch this. That's the best thing you can ever be. I thought it was important to teach my children how to give. I have four children. I would have had more. I don't like kids, okay? So, four kids, Gabriel, Jesse, Magdalene, and Natalie. Gabriel's the oldest. I wanted to teach Gabriel how to give. I thought he could set the precedent, so I taught Gabriel how to give. And I said, son, during family vote, says, son, Gabriel, come over here. I'm going to teach you about giving. And I taught that verse right there. That's why I said, son, I said, I got some candy bars. Will you please hand the candy bars out? He said, yes, she'll be glad to. I gave Gabriel three candy bars. Gabriel walks over here to my daughter named Natalie, and he gives Natalie one, and then he gives his brother Jesse one, Jesse over here. And then he goes over to Maggie. Maggie's my daughter, and started to give one. Hold it. There's this. That's what he did. He stopped right there. Dad, I said, what? Son, he goes, there's not enough for Maggie. Oh, I said, son, I'm so sorry. I reached behind the table. I had a large, large candy bar. I said, oh, go give this one to her. And Gabriel saw the large candy bar go over here. You just see his wheels turning, Next day, I have family devotions. I said, we're going to talk about giving today. And I had a lesson about giving, and my kids loved it. I said, Brother Gabe, can you help me out a little bit? He said, yes, sir, I'll be glad to. I said, Gabe, can you pass out these candy bars for me? Said, I'll be glad to all the kids. I said, yes, sir. So Gabriel takes those candy bars, and he goes over here, gives one to Natalie. He goes over here, one to Jesse. Then he comes back to Maggie. Dad, I said, what, son? Dad, there's not enough for Maggie. I said, oh, I forgot again. Here's one more. And it was a large candy bar, So I go give that to Maggie. And you can just see my son's wheels just, okay. Next day, sure enough, I'm having family devotion. I'm teaching my kids how to give. I said, Brother Gabe, can you help me out? Yes, sir, I'll be glad to. He's ready. Yes, sir, I'll be glad to. I gave my son three candy bars. He goes over there. He goes to Natalie, gives her one. Then he goes over to Jesse, gives them one. And he goes over to Maggie. You can just see it. I see it every Sunday during the offering time. Same look on everybody's face, okay? And he gives it to her. Dad, I said, well, there's not enough candy bars. I don't have one. I reached underneath my table, and sure enough, there's a large candy bar. I gave it to Gabriel. Here's what he did. It works. Oh, that's not the half of it. Next Sunday morning, true story. I go to First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana. There's 5,000-6,000 people in the auditorium. I preach in the jail ministry. I get in right before the preaching time, right before the offering time. I slip him back. Gabriel's old enough. He's allowed to be in church with me. I got Mama. I got me. And I got Gabriel. Offering's being taken place. Jack Kyle's on the platform. Wonderful service. Plate comes down this aisle. My son Gabriel takes his glass piggy bank, untakes the stopper, and he's got this going, ha, 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 ha. And all these pennies are going, ah, and making a loud noise. I look at him. I just duck. Just down there. Honey, that's your son. What are you doing? No. I said, son, what are you doing? He said, I said, son, And the usher's now looking at us. I don't care whose kid it is. Oh, there you go. Then I saw Brother Hiles. He's starting to lean up like, what's going on? I said, I don't even know, Brother Hiles. I don't know what's going on. It's okay. And Gabriel, he does this. And the computer. And I look at my son. That's it. I'm going to kill you. I'm serious. I was embarrassed. So I'm going to kill you. I said, listen to him right now, because that's the last message you ever hear before you go to heaven. And sure enough, I looked at Gabe, listened to the message Brother Hiles preached that morning. I looked at Gabe, I said, look, we're going to get out before the invitation, because this thing's going to be over quickly. You're going to die and go to heaven today. So that's just it right now. Brother Hiles stood up. It's a true story. It's still good. Brother Hiles said, he goes, I want to talk to all of you about leaving early during the invitation. Don't do that. And my son goes, oh, God loves me. Oh, God loves me. Oh, God loves me. I said, it's not going to stop me from killing you, son. You just got delayed. That's all it was. I took my son. I got him right at the invitation. I started going out there. I'm walking outside. All of a sudden, the assistant pastor, Jeff Owens, says, Brother Rule, Brother Rule. I said, I can't stop. I'm going to the sacrifice. Here we go. Brother Rule. I said, I got to go. He goes, I want to talk to your son. Did you see what your son did? I said, everyone saw what my son did. I said, this is it. He goes, can I talk to him? You're going to be the last other human being to talk to him. That's all we got to say right there. He got down on his knees and he looked at my son and he said, son, I saw what you did. I said, everyone saw what my son did. I was so proud of you. And Jeff Owens reached in his pocket and he took out a $20 bill and gave it to my son. And my son said, it works. It works. Next Sunday morning, I got my piggy bank. Ah! It works. It works. It really does work. I mean, God said, if you give, I will give back to you. That's not rhetoric speech. That's not just filler words. He says, you got to learn this thing about giving and trusting God. If you trust God, he'll take good care of you. Hey, welcome to Golden State Baptist College. How do you think a man can pray down God's blessing at this Silicon Valley and go ahead and afford a college with all the amenities? I'll tell you what, he knows how to pray and he knows how to give. You'll be challenged. You'll be challenged to give. Be challenged to give. It works. Last one and I'm done. So much we can say about if you want to be average or if you want to be up here, be awesome. You know what makes our churches different? We share our faith. That's why we call it share our faith. We call it soul winning. He that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. And we share our faith. Not many people do that anymore. Hard to say, sometimes even our own ranks don't do that anymore. If you come here, you will. So, you're going to make me do that? No, they'll just train you where you want to do it. When I went to Bible college, I had gone soul winning. When I left Bible college, I was a soul winner. It was a part of my life. It's something I want to tell everybody else. I got out of hell. I got off death row. I'm going to heaven. My sins are paid for. My whole life's changed. Why not tell somebody else? So I don't really know how to do that very well. That's why you're here. I had a man baptized yesterday. Had him over the house for dinner. His name was Sean. And Sean was a Muslim. Had 1 hour at Sean 2 weeks ago. He called me on the phone and said, I want to know God. I want to know God. Okay, fine. He's a 27-year-old man. Wants to know God. Okay, where do you live? Bay Area? I said, well, sir, I don't know what to do. I said, I got an open window here for this time at 12:30 to 1:30 on Friday. And he goes, I'll be there. I said, okay, great. I said, I'll never see this guy. At 12:28, I get a text. I'm in the parking lot. 2 weeks ago. I'm in the parking lot. It's Sean, Muslim. I get to the door, and there's Sean. He goes, I want to know God. The guy's looking at me like, I want to know God. I take him in my office, and I know, being an Indian person, that he's got millions and millions of God. True story. And here, America, you know, got one God, and so we had to cover all that ground. And I said, but we are the same. And he just started crying. Which is, and had the wonderful privilege of leading Sean to the Lord. And he got happy, and he goes, my parents won't understand this. He got home, and he texted me. He says, my parents, I'm no longer here. They want me to leave my home, and they said I'm dead to them. And he says, okay, because I found God. I found God. He had a 58-minute appointment. He got back in his car and drove back to the Bay Area. I've been texting back and forth, and so I just said, well, the next step is you need to be baptized. And I'm thinking, he'll go to a local church, get baptized. He goes, when do you want me there? I said, come tomorrow. Guess who came yesterday? Sean. Guess who got there early? Sean. Guess who sent the second row? Sean. Guess who walked the aisle and got baptized yesterday? Sean. Should have seen the tears. Whole soul when he works. I tried to do this. Let's go back to college days and I'm done. That's where I learned, college days. I went with Mark Moscovic, this guy from New York City. We used to go to South Chicago and knock on doors. And so we're knocking on some doors. We had like 15 tracks left. We hand off two tracks. I had one. It's just no more house. He said, I'm in a hurry. I said, we're not going to leave the last track. I said, let's just go find the last track. We went around the corner. And sure enough, there's a door there. And so I said, here we go. Door was open. It was springtime. And you had one of those metal screen doors, but metal, like locking screen door. You can't see in. They can see out. And so you know how you are. It's a question where you kind of look in there and see if anybody's there. And I saw a little hallway. I saw someone down at the end of the hallway, but that's all I could see. Knocked on the door. And I heard a little voice say this. Please leave me alone. Well, that was nice. This is my last track. And so I knew she knew who he was, and she couldn't see. So I knocked on the door again. I said, hello, ma'am. And she goes, please, please leave me alone. And I'm looking at Mark. He says, let's go. I said, no, come on. It's the last track. She doesn't know us. We don't know her. It's okay. So knock one more time. Here you go. Hello, ma'am. How you doing? I said, leave me alone. You know when a tone changes, you're hurting, right? You're hurting, okay? Guys, pick that up real fast, okay? When a woman's tone changes, just run. Just run, okay? Just run. I thought, okay. So I looked where the car was. I thought, okay, here we go. Last track. I can stick in the door one more time. I said, ma'am, how you doing? I know you want me to leave you alone, but ma'am, you got just mad. Then something happened. And she just got mad. And so she stood up. And so I'm kind of looking through the screen. When I looked through the screen, when she got up and turned, and she walked down that little foyer, she filled the entire foyer, okay? Like she is this wide right here. I thought, oh, no, I'm going to the car right now, amen. She opened the door. She goes, let me tell you something, mister. I looked at her. She goes, let me just tell you something. I had a dream last night that I died and went to hell. And I can't fall asleep. I've been up all night. I'm at the kitchen table. I got that old black cover book out there. I'm trying to figure out how not to die and go to hell. I said, let me tell you something, honey child. I'm knocking on your door and God sent me here. I'm going to tell you how to go to heaven. She said, well, come on in. Come on in. I went there, true story. She's at this vinyl table, the vinyl chairs, and there she was in a little nook there in the kitchen, and she had her Bible open to John 3:16. I said, Maddie, do you understand this? She goes, I don't understand it. She goes, sit down. I sat down with her. I said, Maddie, here's what the Bible says. For God so loved the world. Oh, that's you. And she is just crying and crying. I mean, she's got this well around the face, and she's well upholstered, and she's just crying and crying. I'm loving every minute. I said, God loves you, Maddie. He loves you. He sent me over here. He gave me a dream. Oh, it's wonderful. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I went through, for God commended his love toward you, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for you. I went through the whole plan of salvation. She's just crying. I said, Maddie, you ready to pray? No. Maddie, you want me to pray with you? No. I pray myself. Well, honey, child, go right ahead. There you go, man. I ain't stopping you. She did. She pushed back her chair and she put both hands on the table like this, and she could pray. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you for the dream, dear Lord Jesus. And last night, I was just perspiring on my bed. I saw the flames of hell lapping on my feet. I couldn't sleep all night. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And then you sent the preacher boy. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And then she looked at me. Hello, this is not good. This is not good. I stood up and she said, no, thank God for the preacher boy. And she came and she gave me a hug. And she said, whoa, just like this. Here's what I look like. I was, I mean, she started bouncing that, oh, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you. I thought I was going to heaven from a black lady's arms, amen. Oh, where's your silent partner? He's out in the car. He left me alone a long time ago. Maddie and I knelt down in that kitchen, Maddie, with hot tears, trusted Jesus Christ to say, listen, just a minute. I'm going to walk down heaven's sidewalk one day. And I'm going to be on the other side of the street someplace, and somebody's going to say, hey, hey, preacher boy. Remember that day? Yeah, Maddie. I remember that day. I was just so winning. Honestly. No, it's okay. That's why we have colleges. Now, what's this? Local church, number one. But if we maybe can add a little bit to you, like Mike Ray and his so many abilities, and Brother Cheever and this staff here, if we can add a little bit to your so many, add a little bit to your prayer life, add a little bit to how to just trust God. That's why you're here today. You're going to make a decision today, not really what Bible college or if Bible college, but you're going to make a decision today. Do I want to live an average life? Or do I want to live an awesome life? If you want this up here, you got to get yourself some training. You got to walk with God personally. You got to do what he tells you to do. And just as one person, just as one, I personally invite you to pray and say, God, would this be a place where I could be sharpened to take my game from here to here? Would you pray that today? Father in heaven, you're a wonderful God, a wonderful God. I remember the day I was 27. I visited college for the first time in my life. I couldn't believe it. I said to myself, I don't belong here. There's no way I can come here. I don't belong here. But you worked and worked and worked in my heart. And you opened up doors and you answered prayer. And Lord, you should put in my heart, I'm going to Bible college. I'm going to Bible college. I never heard of a Bible college. Lord, it's all you. Lord, today I ask to be all you again. Did you speak to someone's heart here today? The one that doesn't feel like they belong. The one that feels they can never make it here. They're not good enough. Oh, Lord, yes, they are. Because they know the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Would you speak to our heart this morning? And as we stand to our feet, please, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and ask the pianist to play, would you just say, Lord, Lord, would you take me from being average? Lord, would you take me to another level?